Well, let's turn in our Bibles. Turn our Bibles to page 1155. That's at least in the pew Bibles, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Some of you might be very familiar with the second epistle to Timothy. And this is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. And it was to his spiritual son, or his child. You see often in the NIV son, but the word is technon, or child. It is an intimate letter written to a young minister of the Word of God as a farewell statement to this life. And so we take up God's word from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we die with Christ, with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we ask, as your people, as we, your people, read your word, that we would be encouraged to be good soldiers of the cross. And if anyone is discouraged this morning, through your word, by your spirit, would you encourage them? Hear our prayer. O living God, we ask in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This letter, because it is a letter. It's a letter written, obviously, in love by the power of the Holy Spirit to Timothy. By a man who is facing execution. Paul. And he's discouraged. There's no doubt, if you read through this letter, the man writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, is a discouraged man. He is discouraged because of what he sees in the church. This is the era of Nero's persecution against Christians. These were dangerous times to be alive as a Christian. And if you have your Bibles open, because I think for this sermon it's essential that your Bibles are open. A closed Bible will do you no good this morning. It needs to be open. Because if you look at the context in chapter 1, verse 15, you hear the Apostle Paul write these words, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes." Everyone has abandoned me. You hear the language. Here the Apostle Paul is in chains. He is on death row. He is going to die. And And where are the saints? Where are his friends? Well, it appears that some have departed. And if you go to chapter 4, verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, you pick up these words. And there's a guy named Demas. And Demas was someone that you can find him in the other letters as a faithful servant. But here's what you hear of Demas now. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Demas, one of his spiritual sons, had departed the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ because he loved the world more than Christ. And here you are sitting at the end of your life with no window to look out on the world, only letters to see the outside world. And then a little bit farther down the page in verse 16, it says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Paul is a discouraged man. In the ministry of the gospel under the reign of Nero, it is a horrifically hard ministry. It could cost you your life, and it was costing Paul his life. It can also cost you your friends. And the Apostle Paul, even in his discouragement, as he looked around him, chained to that probably Praetorian guard, awaiting his execution, still commends his spiritual son, Timothy, to soldier on to victory. Soldier on! In all his discouragement, he's telling Timothy, press on. Come and die with me, Timothy. Come and die with your spiritual pops for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. My son. I think the Apostle Paul, if you read the context before, he's dealing with a pervading problem in the heart of Timothy, and it's timidity. He's afraid. Timothy is afraid. Wouldn't you be? How about you? How about me? He says, my son, do not be afraid. Do not fear. You hear the wondrous affection of the Apostle Paul in chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. The Apostle Paul loves Timothy. This is his boy. He saw him come to new life in Christ when he preached the gospel. And then he writes in verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. It's real, Timothy. It's real. I know it's real. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You didn't receive a spirit of timidity when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. When you came to faith in him, when you were ordained for the ministry of the word, you did not receive a spirit of timidity, because the one dwelling in you is who? Who dwells in you? the living God, the Holy Spirit. And that's why he can say, by the power of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You can sense that Timothy is in hiding, that Timothy is afraid. He's afraid to open his mouth. He's afraid to proclaim the gospel. He too could suffer. He too could be thrown into prison. He too could die. And then Paul says, you see that in verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. My son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. And that word is a present. Be strong. Grace upon grace upon grace. Drink it in again and again and again, Timothy. Take up the wondrous gospel of Jesus Christ. Meditate on it. Devour it. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And you hear this wondrous gospel explained in Timothy as well, this letter in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, who has saved us? Listen to Paul's language. Who has saved us? Called us to a holy life. And not because we have done anything, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace has been given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Timothy saved us. He called us to a holy life. And it's not because we deserve God's favor. Because grace is God's unmerited favor. There's not a single soul on the planet who has ever existed that deserves the grace of God except one. And he is the bestower of grace, Jesus Christ. And here Paul, who used to be a persecutor of the church, who hated Christ, he knows better than any man that no one deserves the grace of God. Visit the grace of God, O Timothy, O saint. If you are afraid of the changing winds of our culture that continue to oppose the Church of Jesus Christ in the workplace and in the public square, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong through the power of God that is dwelling in you. So that you would not be silent. The world wants us to shut our lips tight. It does not want to hear of Christ and of sin and of our need for a Savior. But isn't that what the world needs? Isn't that what the world needs more than anything else? Paul knew that. He was called to that, although he did not deserve that. And he was a man entranced. He was a man whose affections had been taken over by God. So be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. And I love how he says that, who has destroyed death. This is a man who's going to die by beheading. He has destroyed death. And brought life and immortality. You can hear that wonderful Christian stubbornness in the face of death. Kill me and I die and I live. Destroy my body and I live forever. Remember that, Timothy. Remember that saint seated here this morning. Remember that preacher. Be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. We will never be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus until we frequent the Word of God vociferously. Unless we ravage the Word of God, unless we go through it and devour it, unless we be men and women this 2020 are consumed with hearing from God, we will never be encouraged by the grace of God because we will so infrequently visit it. Oh, how we need that grace to be ringing in our ear like bells on a Christmas morning. Day after day, night after night, I need to hear of the grace of God. I am a weak man. Timothy is a weak man. Paul is a weak man. And so are you and I, weak men and women who need to hear the wondrous grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. Who still lives to intercede for you with his nail-scarred hands. And so, my son, you see that in verse 2, entrust the gospel to faithful men. This church for 126 years has been entrusting the gospel to faithful men. Year after year, 126 of them, I think, we have been installing elders and deacons, men who are called to be men of the word, and entrust the gospel to these faithful men. Now it says in 1 Timothy 5:22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. So when you see this idea of reliable men, put the word faithful, faithful men. Faithful men. They're faithful men because they're men who love Jesus. They're a man who have tasted and seen that God is good and they hunger and thirst for his righteousness that is found in his word. They are men this morning that are being challenged to remember that trust that God has given them, that they may continue in that word and continue in that faithfulness so God would shepherd them by his word, by his grace, so that they may be instruments of his grace to his church. And that's why it's so important. It says competent to teach others, or qualified in the NIV to teach others. And you see a little bit of that competence in chapter 2, verse 24, if you go down the page. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So these competent teachers are to be those who are patient and kind, long-suffering, because faithfulness is long-suffering. It is patient. It is kind. And the purpose of that kindness and patience and faithfulness to the word is that they might escape the devil's trap, that they would be brought to repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, leading them back to who? Back to Christ. Back to Jesus. So how important is it for our elders especially to hear the words of Titus chapter 1 verse 9? He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it, patiently, kindly, long-sufferingly. To Christ Church. You hear that charge for us, men? May you take God's word and blaze it upon your hearts. And then the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, about himself, and obviously these reliable or faithful men who are qualified to teach or competent to teach, he says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. Tertullian, a church father so many years ago, said, no soldier comes to the war surrounded by luxuries, nor goes into action from a comfortable bedroom, but from the makeshift and narrow tent where every kind of hardness and severity and unpleasantness is to be found. Apostle Paul says, Timothy, expect and endure hardship in the war against the forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Expect in your conflict with the devil that you will be attacked. And those attacks will come from within the church. Those attacks will come from outside of from the culture, from your friends, maybe your family. But expect it and endure it. Remember that you are in a spiritual conflict, a spiritual war. And it won't be easy. The Christian lives a life of a lifelong insurgency. Not like the Taliban, obviously, but the reality is through life's journey, there will be plenty of IEDs, spiritual IEDs ready to damage and destroy us. There will be temptations upon temptation and sufferings upon sufferings. Endure them. Remember the conflict you're in is a spiritual one. And persevere like a good soldier. With 126 pounds of gear, it was a Roman soldier. I think he carried around about 126 pounds of gear upon his body. Endure that hardship. And then he says in verse 4, and I want us to hear that, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Roman soldiers got to know their commanding officer intimately, unlike many other fighting forces before that time. They knew him. They wanted to fight for him. They fought for the man on their left and on their right. And here, the Apostle Paul is talking about their commanding officer. And who is the commanding officer of the Church of Christ? It's not the pastor. It is Christ. Seek to please your commanding officer, Timothy, Christ Jesus. And so as you serve men this year, who are you seeking to please? Are you seeking to please the complaints of others in the congregation? I say that bluntly. Are you seeking to please the various movements of culture that are whirling around us so rapidly we can't even barely understand them? Are we seeking to please those and conform to those? No, we're seeking to please Christ. Not every fad or whim or wind of doctrine, but Christ. Imagine living 2020 every day desiring to please Christ instead of complain. Imagine that. Desiring to serve him in all of life, in your home, in your workplace, in the church, single-minded in your desire to please him instead of your lusts, in your pleasures. Then the Apostle Paul talks about the athlete and the farmer as well. He's simply saying that as believers, as leaders, as a minister of the word, you need to be disciplined. You're going to need to discipline your life if you're going to receive the crown. You're going to have to work hard, Timothy, if you want to see a harvest. It's going to be hard work. It's going to need discipline. And brothers, if you've heard this word and it hasn't rebuked you, you haven't heard it. Because this is a rebuke. upon my own soul. And it should be a rebuke on all of us. Are we disciplining our lives to please God? Are we working hard for a harvest that the church would be built up, that the lost would be found, and that Christ would be glorified? Because that's what the Apostle Paul was calling Timothy to. That's what the Apostle Paul was calling the church in Ephesus to, in which Timothy served. And that is what the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, is calling the church to soldier on to victory. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to require suffering, and it's going to require discipline. But take heart. You have overcome the world. Now, Paul is calling timid Timothy to soldier on and suffer for the proclamation of the gospel, to suffer with him for the boundless gospel. Verses 8 through 10. It's very important for us to hear this. The suffering for the boundless gospel. What do we see very clearly? I want to go with that really quickly. Verses 8 through 10, we see that the Apostle Paul is the messenger, God's messenger, who is chained. God's messenger is chained. You would think that would be the end of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. It's all done. The ministry is, it's come to an end. When bad things happen, oh, it destroys the ministry. But what you find, even in his other imprisonments, like his imprisonment in Philippi, well, this is what he writes. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, being thrown into the slammer. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And not only that, some in Caesar's household came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's right. Some in Nero's household came to faith in Jesus Christ because the Apostle Paul was arrested because of his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The man was bound, but the word of God cannot be chained. Did you read that language? How encouraging would that be for a young, discouraged, timid Timothy? But God's word is not chained. And the modern church in the West has lost confidence in the word. If you've lost confidence in the word, may God rebuke you. I'll say it again. If you've lost confidence in the word, may God rebuke you. The only place we are hearing God speak, the very creator of the universe, is right here in his word. To his people. And I believe much of the decay of the Western church is we've grown so smug and so self-confident and have actually lost confidence in the word. We're more infatuated with programs and we're more infatuated with methods and administrative abilities and big facilities. Take it all away. And the church would still prosper by preaching the word of God. And listen to what Paul says. This is a man who's being poured out like a drink offering. His life is almost gone. And one of the last things he says to his son, in the presence, he said, this is chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. This is the final charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ear away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you Keep your head in all situation. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Timothy, preach the word. If all your house churches disappear, preach the word. If you're chained in a prison like me, preach the word. And when they're going to cut off your head, preach the word. And if they crucify you, preach the word. And if they ridicule you, preach the word. If they fire you, preach the word. Because it's boundless. It's where God speaks to his people. Timothy, Church of Jesus Christ, preach the word. And the Apostle Paul ends with these words. And they're words of both encouragement and rebuke. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. You can hear Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. If we disown him, he will disown us. Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And I believe it's two-part meaning. But even if the church is faithless, Christ will be faithful, because that's his character. He will be faithful to the ministry of the word. If the church won't continue the ministry of the word in all its vigor, Christ will do it somewhere else. He will do it in Asia, in India, in China, in Afghanistan, in Iran. If it's not here, he will be faithful. But if we deny him, Jesus is very clear. He will deny us, just as he did Judas, who denied him. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, the weight of your word this morning ought to be heavy upon our hearts. Make our hearts ache to take up your word afresh this year. May your word permeate the souls of the men who are seated here up front this morning, that they would take it up with new zeal and vigor, with new insight by the power of your Spirit, that you would minister to them, and in so ministering to them, you would make them a tool of your proclamation. And make us all tools of your proclamation. Oh, Father, we want you to get glory. We want to be Christ pleasers, God pleasers. Help your church. Help our weakness. We are willing, but the flesh is weak, and our enemies are many. So help us. Help us. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.